Please open your Bibles this morning, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 on page 1189. And then we're also going to turn to Colossians chapter 4, page 1170. As a congregation, we have been making our way through the book of Colossians. And we come this morning to chapter 4, and we're going to focus on verse 2. But in light of that, we read these familiar words from Hebrews, a wonderful expression of the freedom we now have as believers to come boldly before the Lord in prayer. And we are reminded in this meal that what our Savior has accomplished truly has opened for us the restoration of fellowship with the true and living God. And in light of that, we are approaching God as children, and therefore we come boldly. Hebrews reminds us here, verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then we turn to Paul's words in Colossians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 2 through 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may speak, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. This for the reading of God's holy and infallible word. You'll be helped just to leave your Bible open as we reflect there on verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul is capturing something of the difficulty of prayer. He knows that difficulty. He knows the reality that we struggle often to persevere. He knows that our prayers often, rather than fervent, heartfelt, become quite repetitive, mere words without heart. He knows the danger of getting distracted, losing our train of thought as we are in the presence of God. He knows the difficulty of the flesh being weak, even though the spirit may be willing. He knows the struggles. The great British preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones said on one occasion, if you have never had any difficulty in prayer, it is absolutely certain that you have never prayed. If you don't know difficulty, it is because you've not truly prayed. Because all who pray understands how difficult it is. And the Apostle Paul knows that difficulty, and that's why he encourages us, the Church of Christ, to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now let's hear what the Apostle Paul is saying as he urges us here. What kind of difficulty is he helping us with? He is urging us here to persevere, to press on, to be devoted to prayer, to be earnest, diligent, steadfast, giving ourselves to prayer. Now, why should we give ourselves to prayer? Let's remind ourselves, what is prayer? In those very simple words, the little children's catechism, it says prayer is talking to God. It's conversation with God. And just think about that for a moment. What a privilege it is that we may talk with God. Not everybody has that privilege. The writer to the Proverbs, or the Proverbs in Proverbs 28 verse 9 tells us, if one turns away his ear from hearing your law, even his prayer is an abomination. Those are scary words, isn't it? That if we approach God wrongly, if we have no desire for the ways of God, our prayer itself is an abomination to our God. And that teaches us that the only way we can approach God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ that knows that Christ is their high priest, that he is now in heaven representing them, that truly is able to pray rightly. And so that reminds us that this is a very specific conversation between a repentant sinner and his holy God. It is the conversation between the sinner who has been reconciled to the very Lord whom he has offended. It is the repentant son who runs and who is received by his father with open arms. What a privilege prayer is. We have access through the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore prayer is the means not only in which we communicate with God, but through which we grow in our communion and fellowship with God. Prayer is one of the central means by which our relationship with God is deepened, grows, and is kept alive. Someone has put it this way. It says, as breathing sustains life and breathing is sustained by life, so prayer and communion with God goes hand in hand. The deeper our communion with God goes, the deeper our prayer life grows. And the deeper our prayer life grows, the deeper our communion with God grows. And so Paul's command to us here to continue steadfastly in prayer is because he desires, he longs for us to truly enter into what we now have through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been restored fully to fellowship with the living and true God as our Father. And he wants us to grow in our fellowship with God. Now, just remember why we are given prayer. Because it is the means by which we who have great need are able to express our needs to the one who truly possesses all the resources to help and to sustain and to bless us. And so, we have reason to continue steadfastly in prayer. Because what do we have? What do we have that we have not received? And we receive not without asking. And Jesus encouraged us to ask. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, find. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Be devoted to asking, to seeking, to knocking. One writer puts it, the lack that we so often as Christians settle with this way. Most Christians expect little from God, ask little, and therefore receive little, and are content with little. Is this you? Are you content with little in your relationship with God? Paul summons us to make prayer a priority because he wants us to enter into the riches and the fullness of what it is that we have received through Jesus Christ. Jesus wants those who belong to him to enter into that fullness. And that's why he says, ask, seek, knock. Make prayer a priority. That is growing deliberately throughout your life. Because it's the means by which God delights to pour the blessings we have in the Lord Jesus Christ into our life. Remember, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians 1 that all the blessings in the heavenly places is now ours in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that every blessing that you need is yours already because of Christ? I didn't make it up. I'm not that bright. Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knowing the riches and fullness that is ours in Christ, said, this is what it is. All the blessings in the heavenly realms are now yours. Do your prayers measure up to the richness that is yours in Jesus Christ? I remember reading once of a slave owner who left his slave $50,000 in the bank. Now remember, this was in the 1800s. It's a lot of money. And he came to the bank manager once after being reminded that he has this money, and he asked for 50 cents. Because he didn't know how much 50,000 really is. He just thought 50 cents is all I need right now. And that's often how we are. We are in Christ immensely rich, but we settle for spiritual poverty. Be earnest, steadfast, devoted in prayer. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be given. Remember who our God is. He is the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Is the owner of all things. He possesses everything. You need power, he's got plenty. You need strength, he can provide it. You need to persevere and press on through trouble. He can walk beside you. Do you need the spiritual strength to stand firm against the attacks of the evil one? He can provide you with the sustaining grace you need. What do you lack in your walk with God? Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Now, Paul knows the difficulty of that. He knows that so often our prayers become cold, mechanical. They become mere words. He knows that we have a tendency to fall into certain patterns so that we mumble our prayers without real forethought. And so he calls us to vigilance, to watchfulness. Be awake and vigilant and aware as you pray. Because it is only prayer that comes from the heart that gets to God's heart, said Charles Spurgeon. He knows the reality of how quickly it is possible for us to forget who we're praying to. My brothers and sisters, are you watchful in prayer? It's not something we can merely rush through to merely get it done. We need to be aware and vigilant about the state of our hearts as we approach God. Have you found yourself praying, and then you stop praying and you start worrying? Or you start planning? It's one of the greatest struggles, isn't it? I start off often praying about something, and before I know it, I'm doing it instead of continuing in my prayer. I get so consumed, not by laying my concerns before the Lord, but by my concerns themselves, that it drives me from prayer. The problem is watchfulness. It's a spiritual battle when we're on our knees. The enemy is at work. The enemy is always seeking to interrupt, to redirect, to, in some measure, disturb our prayer. And that's why we need to be watchful. We need to be vigilant. John Calvin has four questions, four attitude checks that helps us to be vigilant as we approach God and His throne of grace. First of all, we need to ask ourselves, do I have a heartfelt sense of reverence for God? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. In Proverbs 1 verse 7. Do I have a sense of God's greatness so that I'm approaching Him with the necessary reverence and awe for His majesty? Secondly, he says, we need to ask ourselves, do I have a heartfelt sense of personal need and repentance towards God? Do I know my sin? And am I truly sorry, so that I would seek for His mercy? We see David in Psalm 51 give us a beautiful expression of this heart attitude, where he pleads with the Lord to have mercy upon him. Against you, you only have I sinned. It's a remarkable statement, isn't it? David understands that when he stands before the Lord, even though he sinned against Bathsheba and he sinned against her husband, he is ultimately guilty before the Lord. It is before the Lord that he needs repenting grace. Is your heart filled with a sense of your need and the desire for grace? Thirdly, do I have a heartfelt sense of humility and trust in God? Do I trust Him? And do I understand that without Him, I can do nothing? That without Him, I am nothing? that without him, I will receive nothing. Humility and trust. Psalm 37 expresses this beautifully. And then finally he asks, do I have a heartfelt sense of confident hope in God? Do I know that now, through the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that God hears me? He answers my prayer. Whatever I ask, I will receive, because my Savior is interceding for me. Watchfulness. These four questions allow us to be watchful. And now notice, he reminds us that we should always be earnest, be devoted, watchful, and pray with thanksgiving. The very sense that all that we have received from the Lord, the blessings that we have in our life, the great blessings that this meal reminds us of, that we have in Christ a Savior who has truly provided a way for all of our sins to be forgiven. That the bread and the wine reminds us of the cost of our salvation. The willingness with which our Savior freely gave himself, that we may be brought into fellowship with him. The very fact that one day soon he will come again, and then this meal will be celebrated for real in his presence. That's our future. It's certain as you take bread and you taste it and you eat it and you take wine and you drink it, so certain is the reality of what Christ has promised. And therefore, we have always ample reason to turn in thankfulness to the Lord. Because he has granted and he will give all that we need. And he has shown his lavishness in the greatest gift that he had, that he already freely gave us. Paul reminds us of that in those beautiful words in Romans 8. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him freely give us all things? That's a reason to thank God, isn't it? We don't have to twist his arm in prayer to make him willing, no. He is willing. And that's why we can fill our prayer with thanksgiving. Have you noticed how Paul starts almost all of his letters with prayers of thanksgiving to God for the believers to whom he's writing? The Apostle Paul understands that what has happened there in the lives of these believers has been because of God's grace in Christ. And he prays the Lord constantly for what God has done. In those letters, in those moments of praise, we have examples of how to be thankful to the Lord as we are watchful and earnest in prayer. So, press on. We have in our Lord Jesus Christ a high priest who is now representing us at the Father's right hand. This meal reminds us. He not only gave himself for us then, but he is now in heaven, still busy on our behalf. He's praying and interceding for us. Those who rest in him, he will not let go. And so through him, we have great encouragement to grow deeper, richer in prayer. Be steadfast in prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you that we have this freedom of being in your presence. And so as we come to rejoice and to be reminded and to participate in your great love for us, Lord Jesus, we pray that by your Spirit you would draw near and that you would lift our hearts into your presence. Take the bread and the wine and seal to our hearts once again the reality of your love and grace. And may we be inspired to continue steadfastly in prayer. Give us the watchfulness, vigilance we need, and fill our hearts with true gratitude, because we know we have nothing which we have not received, and we know that we have in you, Lord Jesus, a heavenly friend, our great high priest, who is interceding on our behalf now, so that we may know that whatever we ask in your name, whatever we ask in conformity to your will, we will receive. To that end, may you bless us to grow in our walk with you through your word and through the sacrament. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.